I told you that I would be bringing a series in the Christian home and family. The Christian home and family. And I told you that we would be, you know, going through each of the members of a Christian home and family, and we would be defining the roles. And it's R-O-L-E-S, but it's also R-U-L-E-S. But in order for anything to function properly, you need to know the what? You need to know the roles. I really know the roles. And right now, the family as a unit seems to be deteriorating. Is that a fair statement? It just seems to be deteriorating. Now, we know that, you know, when we were younger, especially, you know, folks Ed's age. Okay. But folks mine at Ed's age, you know, in our 60s, Sonny, and certainly folks... Well, Sonny's 60. And folks older than us, the roles, R-O-L-E-S, was clearly defined for the family unit. Back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, the roles, R-O-L-E-S, was pretty clearly defined. And let's see if we can't establish what they might have been. What was the husband's role in the 30s and the 40s? Breadwinner. Go work. That was his role. And what was the mother's role or the wife's role? Stay home, raise the kids, and that's what they did. The kids' roles at that time was to obey. And we had roles. Even children had roles, right? And I'm sure most of you, my age, and maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, we all knew the same. We all had similar roles. We had to be home by what? Streetlights came on. How many had to be home when streetlights came on? That was the role. And back when we were growing up in the boroughs where Sonny and I grew up, and Judy and you guys, and Ed, they had a curfew. And that curfew was loud enough that everybody knew it. And let's see if we all know. What was that curfew? The siren. What time did that baby go off? 9 o'clock. How many remember that? 9 o'clock. That siren went off. And that was the curfew. Young kids, what? Be in the house. Be in the house. That was the rules. Yesterday I was coming home with Sissy. I forget where we were. Oh, my mom and other places. No, I was picking up, I remember, I was picking up my daughter-in-law. Today's Jacob's birthday. He's 5 years old today. And we're having a superhero party at our house. And they're all dressing up in superhero costumes. And there's a villain. He's taking care of business when he gets home. But I was picking up my kids and my grandkids to stay at our house. It was about 10:30 or so, and little kids are still on the street, walking up and down Lincoln Avenue. The rules are kind of messed up. We don't know what the rules are anymore, do we? Well, we know that in today's society, today's culture, you know, two parent incomes are probably necessary to raise a family with the cost of everything. We clearly know that. But there are rules that should not have ever changed, regardless of financial circumstances, regardless, because those roles are defined by God's word. And those roles, R-O-L-E-S and R-U-L-E-S, have never changed. In fact, they're the same as when they were written as they are today, and there are roles. And I'm going to do my best in the ensuing weeks, probably 6 weeks, to get through all of the members' roles. We'll talk about husband's roles, the wife's roles, the parents' roles, the children's roles. We'll talk about singleness roles. We'll talk about how to settle conflict within the families. And I know that you probably all can skip that class. You probably never have conflicts within your families. Right. Today, we're going to talk about a subject near and dear to my heart, is husbands. We're going to talk about husband's roles. What are the roles of the husband? And we have a husband-to-be next Sunday. Right, Brian? Husband-to-be. And so we're going to define the roles of the husband. Now, I want you to know, I clearly understand that you're all looking at me. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but I know that you are. But I want you to know that I'm looking at who? You. And I can assure you it's far more interesting looking at you than it is looking at me. Because the things that I see are just remarkable. I see wives going, he's talking to you. Well, I want you to know everybody's going to get a chance to do what? Hey, he's talking to you. Well, I want to make sure that you clearly grasp and clearly understand this morning that I'm not talking to you. He is. And you got an issue? Take it up with him. Don't call me and take it up with me. Right, Glenn? Take it up with him. Because everything I'm going to teach you and everything I'm going to bring to you comes from his word. Not from Dr. Phil. I'm not even consulting him. I'm not consulting Oprah. Fact is, Oprah to Oprah. I am not consulting Montel. I am only consulting God's word. So today we start with the husband's roles. What are the husband's roles in a marriage? What are they? Now, chances are pretty good. If I was to ask you all to jot down some roles and I put it together in a book, I wonder how many copies we'd sell. I wonder. Like, if I asked all the guys and all the gals in this room, what are the roles of the husband? And you wrote them all down, I read them. I wonder how much we could get for a copy of that. And I wonder, would any of the roles that you would write down, would they be opposing to other roles in the same book? Would they be similar? Would they be different? Well, I don't know. And so we have to go to the rule book, and the rule book is what? God's word. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles, as we define the roles for the husband. The roles for the husband. And I need you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Now, before we go any further with this, before I give you what passage of Scripture I need you to turn to, I do not want you to come in here this morning and say, oh, this is one of them getchas. No, it's not. It's not a gotcha. No, it's not a gotcha. And I know that when I do this, there may be conversations on the way home about things I might talk about. But I want you to understand something very important. Woe to any of us who judge somebody else. Be very careful when you judge somebody else. Because guess why? You're passing judgment on yourself. And this is a teaching and a learning experience so that we are able to understand what the fundamentals of a Christian home. Not a secular home, a Christian home. Who wants to have a better Christian home? I mean, I really do. I want to know that Sissy and I, you know, we raise our kids and our grandkids, that we get it together. All right. First rule of the husband. Love their wife. Love their wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
This is being recorded, so I need to be more generic. I was someplace. And I went someplace, and I went up to a woman at one of these places. She had a black eye. And I looked at her, she turned away. And I went right up to her and said, hey. And she put her head down, and I took her chin, I picked up and said, What's going on? And she sobbed. I said, run into a door, did you? Run into a door? She sobbed. And I said to her, You know, I cannot make you talk to me, but when you're ready, I'm here. I'm here. You need to talk to me. And I went upstairs, and I was angry. I was furious. How many men would be furious? I was furious. That's a blemish. You think that spoke volumes about her husband? Volumes, and I don't even know them. It says that we husbands are to love our wives as Jesus loves the church. And most men would say, well, I understand that. But what is it that you understand? And most men would say to me, that means I need to die for her. Well, that's good. What does that mean? Well, that means if somebody's coming in this house with a gun, I'd throw myself in the bullet. Well, most men would do that for your wife. What's that make you special? Really? Let's think about that one more time. You see, people say, well, I understand what that means. You have to be willing to die for your wife. Well, what does that mean to you? That means take a bullet. Well, you know what? When Ed Rogers was a cop, you take a bullet for her. Sure. Does that make you special? Really? Because you take a bullet for your wife? Most men would take a bullet for your wife. How many men in here would take a bullet for somebody's wife if you had? Well, that don't make it special. All the men in this room that would lay your life down for somebody's wife if you had to, stand up. If you'd lay your life down for somebody's wife, stand up. Now, men, look around. Look around, man. That don't make you special. In fact, that makes you pretty what? Ordinary. So sit back down, you ordinary guys. That don't make you special. That makes you pretty what? Ordinary. Most guys would do that. So when it says lay your life down for your wife, it means be willing to die for her. That means put your anger aside. Be willing to die inside 1,000 deaths before you would ever raise your hand to your wife. That's what that means. That means when you are so furious and you have that male testosterone running through your body, and some men have it more than others. I'm just saying. You have to be able to do what with that? Lay it down. Lay it down. Let me help you understand. The loudest is not the most rightest. The loudest is usually the most stupidest. That's not a proverb, but it ought to be. That sounded good. See, when you're so boiling over with anger that you feel your cheeks are getting red, and your blood pressure is boiling over, and you feel like you need to throw something, what should you do? Lay it down. Be willing to die. Give it up. Now the question that needs to remain is this. I had asked the men a question. How many of you be willing to lay your life down for somebody, to throw your body in front of somebody, a woman who's going to be shot? Most of you stood up. Now the question is, but how many of you be willing to keep your mouth shut? How many of you be willing to zip it? How many men would be willing to say, you know what, you're right, and I'm wrong? How many husbands are willing to do that? Now, I'm not even going to ask you to stand up, because you know whether or not you would be one. It says that we are to love our wives as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. What else did Jesus Christ do for the church? Everybody gets that, died for her. Everybody got that part. Everybody always gets that part. But what about nurturing her? What about providing for her? What about serving her? You see, when it came time for feet to be washed, It was not Jesus who demanded that they wash his feet. It was he that willingly did what? Wash theirs. So when it comes time to be demanding men, you should be more of a servant than you are a dictator. Men should be willing to serve their wives, not demand to be served. Men need to love their wives enough that the dictatorship that you think you own, you surrender into servanthood. And I will tell you, if we had more servants as husbands, there'd be many more wives willing to follow. Amen. We're missing that part, aren't we? Willing to serve. I know a lot of men will say to me, well, I go in front and my wife follows behind. Okay. A lot of cultures have that. But I think they call that Islam. I think Islam does that, don't they? The husband goes and the women follow. Well, maybe in a Christian home, maybe the wife should go first and the husband should follow. You know why? Because she can see what trouble's coming. She follows behind you. You can't see until she's gone. And so it says in Scripture that we husbands are to love our wives. I need you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, where you just are, and look at verses 28 and 29.
So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
Yeah. You see, I know men won't profess this. Most men won't. But I know what men do. We walk past mirrors and we go, I know you do. Sometimes men do this in the mirror. I know you do. And I know men fix their hair. Eric, you too. I didn't say call it. Are you glad I didn't say call it? Thank God. Oh. Some of us fixed our hair. Some fixed the hair. But we do. Don't you trim your beard? Colin? We primp. We want to make sure that our bodies are taken care of. But see, it says in Scripture that we should treat our wives as we treat our own bodies. That when our bodies are sick, we take care of them, don't we? When our bodies are deteriorated, we take care of it. We do the best that we can. And we are to love our wives as we love our own bodies, and maybe even more so. I'd like to see the husband that punched that lady and say, why don't you punch yourself? Chances are pretty good. He don't have a black eye. But he would never do that to him. He would never do that to himself. But he'll do that who? To her. And so husbands are to love our wives as Jesus Christ loves the church. And that means what? To give up our life for her. What does that mean? To lay our lives down. Brothers, especially in this place, and you call yourselves Christians, I know that you do. Jesus says, hey, if you want to come and follow me, pick up your cross. Well, I do that, Pastor Tom. I go to church. That's not what that said. He said, pick up your cross. Well, I do. I have one. I got it. My grandma gave it to me. That's not the one we're talking about. We're talking about pick up your cross. You know that wooden thing? Pick that up and drag it around with you because you're going to need it. Well, why am I going to need that? Well, you know what they do on crosses? They kill things. Crosses are used for what, Glenn? Crucifixion. Crosses are used to put what? Things to death. That's what crosses are used for. How many know that's what crosses are for? You hang on them until what? You die. That's what they're used for. And Jesus said, hey, you want to follow me? Pick it up. Take it with you because you're going to need it. Well, why am I going to need that? Because you're going to need to kill some things along the journey. What kind of things am I going to have to kill? Your anger. Your frustration. All those pet things that you make so important, you probably got to put them to death. How many understand that? How many men here would probably have a good day, take a cross around with you a couple of times, put some things, nail some things on it, right? And so we got to understand that in order to love our wives, we need to love them as Jesus loved the church, and we need to love them as we love our own selves. And some of us love ourselves pretty much, don't we? Ain't I special? Well, you know you do. And we need to love our wives more than you love yourselves. Turn your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 19.
Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them.
Hmm. What that word means in the Greek is husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter. Husbands, love your wives with no resentment. Husbands, love your wives with no anger. Husbands, love your wives with no malice. That's what that means. And what that means is sentences like this should never come out. I don't even know why I married you. Sentences like that shouldn't be part of that. That would not be loving your wives without bitterness. You see, we are to love our wives in an open kind of way. We are to do things for our wives with nothing expected in return. And most of you guys would probably say, well, that's so far not teaching me anything I didn't know. Really? You see, what that means is that we are to do things for our wives with nothing expected in return. Nothing expected in return. How many of us can love our wives and such, and my wife is right there. How many of us can love our wives and do things without anything expected in return? How many of us can love our wives unconditionally and do something for them with nothing expected in return? Is that possible? Let me give an example of this. Let's just suppose that I buy my wife Sissy a dozen roses. Of course, I could find none as beautiful as her. I know I'd be challenged for that. And it's not her birthday. It's not our anniversary. And no, I did nothing wrong. I wear a shirt, which I love my shirt. It says, I love my wife. I love my wife. You know what guys ask me about that shirt? She bought that for you? Don't they, Sissy? No. You know, wives say to me, where can I get that shirt? Don't they? Where can I get that shirt? Well, you can't get it. What do you mean? He has to get it. Did you buy me that shirt? What's the story of that shirt? You remember the story of that shirt?
Or they didn't have your size or something.
I had to have it sent to me. You see, let's just suppose that I buy Sissy a dozen red roses. It's not her birthday. It's not her anniversary. No, I didn't do anything wrong. I just wanted to what? Do it. Just be nice. Now, of course, I don't want anything in return. I just want to do it. I just want to do it because I just want to do it. And so I call a florist on the phone, and I ask a florist, I say, hey, I'd like for you to pick out the most beautiful red roses that you got, and I want you to send them to my wife. And would you please call me when she gets them so I'll know that you delivered them? Oh, sure, no problem, Reverend, I'll do that. And it's Monday around 10 o'clock, I get a phone call from the florist. Yep, I delivered them. You gave them to her personally, right? You wouldn't leave them outside. Oh, no, I knocked on the door, she opened, I gave them to her. What did she say? Nothing. She say anything? Nope. Huh. Well, she's probably busy. What time did she get them? It was 9:30. Okay, cool. 10 o'clock, nothing. 10:30, nothing. 11 o'clock, nothing. So I call her. Hello? Sissy. Yeah? So, what's going on? Nothing, gotta go. I know it's you. Nope, gotta go. Desiree's on the phone, gotta go. Sean is knocking on the door. I got to go. Nothing. 12 o'clock. Nothing. What am I waiting for? But April, well, no, wait a minute. I said I didn't want anything in return. Well, no, wait a second now. I said I didn't want what? Anything. I didn't want anything in return. 12 o'clock, I call. So, what's going on? Well, I'm just preparing the kids' lunch. Okay, great. Anything exciting going on? Nope, don't think so. Put that kid down! Hey, Tom, you know what? I really got to go. 6 o'clock, I get home. No phone call all day. I walk in, the roses are sitting on the counter. She'll probably put them in water. And I do that thing I always do. Lucy! What do I do? I know, we're giving secrets right now. Lucy, I'm home! Lucy! Oh, Lucy! Hey, I'm busy. Turn the wiper or push two. Whatever. Nothing? Hey, did you get any flowers today? Oh, yeah, thanks. Do we really do things with no strings attached? Kathy's saying no. Do we really, truly, truly do things for no strings attached, really? Don't we want at least, you know what, my most important thing in my life is my wife. And you know what I want from her some days? She's a pat on my head. Right? You did good, Tom. But see, we are to love our wives. No strings. Hey, if you get it out of boy, hey, good for you, that a boy. If you get a, hey, thanks, you're the best thing since sliced bread, hey, relish God for that. But sometimes you should just do things just because what? Because you should. Just because you should. You know, and I have so much more to say to you guys. And I was thinking that we could get through one Sunday on each person, but I can't. I you know, it's just so much. So we're going to pick up next week with the roles of men. There are more. And just so you know, this is an equal opportunity church. Guess who's coming? So the roles we know so far of husbands is to what? Love them. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? That sounds so simple. But it isn't. We're to love them as Jesus Christ loves the church. We're to love our wives as we love our own bodies. We're to nurture and develop and help, support, lift up, love, caress, all those things. And we're going to learn a whole bunch more in the following week. So let's be in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity just to even be here today, Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, it's just a fascinating opportunity, Lord, just to be able to get up and get moving. Lord, we thank you so much for our visitors here today. We love our visitors. We hope they come back. Thank you for being here. We ask your blessings on Sissy and my friends, on Wendy and Brian, Lord, as they are preparing to become husband and wife next Sunday. Lord, bless them, keep them safe until we have the honor of seeing them again. So, Father, we ask you to continue to mold us men, mold us into the kind of men, Lord, that you want us to be, not what society makes us be. And we pray these things in your awesome name, we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen.